clock is certainly ticking. 8 days to go. A Reuters Zogby poll shows the race tightening, showing McCain gaining a bit, now just 5 points behind Obama, 49% to 45%. Joining us now to look at the big picture and the small picture is Marcus Mayberry, the editor for New York Times, or at least one of the editors at the New York Times, in the studio here with us. Welcome back, Marcus.
Great to be here.
First, are there many undecideds like our friend we just spoke to?
Increasingly fewer. It's a single digit now in every single poll we look at. The interesting thing about what Andrew is saying is that he is, as he says, a conservative who at this point, and from the state of Georgia, which is a deep red state normally, who is not sure he's voting for. That is exactly endemic of the problem John McCain is facing right now.
He can't get the passion. He can't get people's fire in the belly going.
That's exactly right. There are talks now. If you look at, you know, We've done a great job this year of actually looking at the electoral college vote in the media rather than just looking at the popular vote. So if you, there are like at least half a dozen really excellent sites you can go online and look at different projections for the electoral college votes. Some of these sites are actually predicting things like Indiana is a toss-up, Georgia is only leaning McCain rather than solid McCain. Indiana has not voted for a Democrat since Johnson in 64. Before that, it was FDR in 1936. Imagine.
So that certainly says a lot, which is going to bring me to the point of mentioning this latest Zogby Reuters poll. National polls really are besides the point when you're 8 days out, right? You really have to look at the polls of the individual states.
All the national polls can tell us 8 days out is basically the trend lines. Are things getting tighter generally? If things are getting tighter generally, if it gets a smaller and smaller and smaller gap between the two candidates, and that's good because that means it's good for McCain. It means he'll be gaining in some states. The problem with the Zogby poll, though, five is not a bad number 8 days out. You wish it were tighter than that if you were John McCain. But the other problem is it's an outlier right now. We don't have any other poll with that small a margin. Mm-hmm. So unless we see other polls to confirm that soon, then it's not really good news for McCain.
Both candidates are in Pennsylvania. I got to figure with what you're saying that this Pennsylvania strategy on the part of McCain is an insane Doug Flutie Hail Mary play that has almost no chance of success, and if anything is emblematic, that it's over.
Well, you know,
and just to throw into that, also the fact that McCain spent some time in Iowa over the weekend, which just seemed a little surprising, given the fact that Obama has had a lead of double digits in Iowa for some time.
And Republicans are getting really depressed from both the things you guys said. It's kind of sad that when McCain sat down and talked with Tom Brokaw on Meet the Press, it was in Waterloo, Iowa. That's a bad sign. Waterloo.
It wasn't Austerlitz, New York.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about what's happening in the McCain campaign. There's certainly been all of these reports in the last couple of days about the tensions between Palin's people, McCain's people, lots of finger pointing. Do you think this plays at all in the voters' minds, or is this just more emblematic of what their polling is showing and what their expectation is, the campaign that is?
I think both are true. I think it does reflect kind of the end days of a campaign when a campaign's not going well. You expect to see this, and you always do. On the other hand, I think voters do pick up these atmospherics. I think there's an increasing sense of kind of desperation that sits in a losing campaign, and it's kind of a lot of Republicans especially, but other folks too, are talking about how kind of sad this is for John McCain, who has been such a kind of a public civil servant warrior, a long distinguished career. But in fact, his last major campaign seems like it's going down in such a kind of a cloud of acrimony and even resentments. Barack Obama's going to be making his closing arguments this week. So he's going to be talking about appealing to people's hopes rather than their fears, bringing the country together. John McCain, in the meantime, is going to have to get increasingly negative and divisive in a state like Pennsylvania, hoping that beyond hope, from what all the polls tell
us, that
white voters, well, you're right, he doesn't have to. But the way the McCain campaign is playing it, is that they're going to go out there and get white voters in Pennsylvania who are a little leery about voting for this black guy. And we have a great story in today's paper about Pennsylvania and about some of the steel workers in areas that normally are deep red Republican areas of the state, saying, you know what, they admit to our reporter, I have a problem voting for this black guy, but and some even use other words that aren't African-American.
We can imagine.
and they say that I'm going to do it, though, because this is an economic issue. I've got no choice but to do this. It's quite extraordinary to see these Americans wrestling with these issues.
Does that mean Barack Obama has the potential of being a uniter in a way that we really haven't seen in a generation in the United States with all these divided electorates? Or Or is this just purely a response to it's the economy, stupid?
You know, I think it may be both. It may be the economy that makes it so that Obama may, and again, I don't think this election is over. I'm not willing to say that myself with 8 days left in the American election, with anything ever to happen over those 8 days. But it looks like Obama may, in fact, be that kind of person who, thanks to the economy, actually racks up a serious electoral college vote. And it's been a long time since we had one of those. We have to go back to Clinton Gore in 96, when Clinton Gore won with 379 electoral votes. To 159 for Dole and Kemp. And since then, the George W. Bush elections have certainly been, you know, really, really squeakers. And we have had a 50-50 nation. If we had someone who actually would assemble more than a 50-50 nation, actually unite Americans, even from the outset in the Electoral College, that would be an historic return to a different kind of America.
From where you're sitting, are there particular states that you're going to be watching closely? It appears that Barack Obama can win in several combinations of states, whereas John McCain is far more limited.
That's exactly right. I think, look at Pennsylvania. If McCain starts to actually make a difference there and narrow what still seems to be a double-digit Obama lead in Pennsylvania, then that will be an indication. Look at Indiana. If Indiana remains a toss-up, as many states or many pollsters are now calling it, that's incredibly bad news for McCain. If it were to move even closer to the Obama column, then I'd be willing to say the election were over.
If Obama actually shows up in Houston campaigning in Texas.
Well, when that happens, well, I think George W. Bush will have left the White House at that point.
Okay, Marcus Mabry is going to stay with us. He's the editor for The New York Times. Thank you.
The electoral map gets very, very interesting in those last 8 days.
Oh, it's extraordinary, because
this combination,
this formula, we haven't quite seen in decades and decades. At least the potential.
Well, it's more interesting than just looking at those, you know, tracking numbers of national polls. When you have the Electoral College map sort of all lit up and changing colors like this, it really makes the last 8 days exciting.
And I think I just want to add that Obama is up about 11 points in Pennsylvania, according to some of the averages of all the polls.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.